Good morning and welcome to Delaware Christian Church. How are you doing today? You guys doing good? You sure? You gotta be good because creation is awesome. And today we start a new sermon series called Encounter. And the purpose of this sermon series is to examine how people encounter God's presence through creation, through His creation, and how these encounters with God through creation brought transformation and help people grow in their spiritual walk with God. So for the next several weeks, we're going to be studying different narratives, biblical narratives that has to do with people meeting God through creation. We're going to look at Adam and Eve in the garden, Moses in the burning bush, Elisha and Elijah, and see how God spoke to God's people through those things and learn about who He is and how He interacts with us. Maybe in that process, we ourselves will see our life being transformed and changed a little bit to look more like Jesus. Psalm 19 is the psalm we're going to be exploring today. And it is, I love the psalms, don't you? I mean, you start reading the psalms, there is nothing that the psalms can touch in your life. If you're frustrated, go to the psalms, there's a psalm for that. You know, if you're like going through some struggles of life and you can see the end of the struggles, go read the Psalms. There's something that talks about that. You need to feel loved. The Psalms talked about that. The Psalms are awesome because it really revealed God and His attributes to us in so many different ways. C.S. Lewis, in reading Psalm 19, he said this. I take this Psalm, Psalm 19, to be the greatest poem in the Psalms, and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. C.S. Lewis was in awe with God's majesty demonstrated through the Psalms, through Psalm 19. And so I hope this morning that we would learn and fall in love with God and have this awe of God once again be put in our hearts as we explore Psalm 19. It was 2002. My life was turning it around, and I was now in the YWAM Youth with a Mission. It was a mission organization where you go there and you learn about God. It's a 6-month program where 3 months you're in classrooms just learning, reading the Bible, reading books, and just focusing on God. No TV, no nothing, no radio, a lot of times in silence. And then the next 3 months, you go out in a different nation. You go out of the United States and go do missions. We were in a Muslim nation helping some orphanage. But in 2002, in the beginning of that journey, I was at the house there, and I got a phone call. I got a phone call from my dad, someone that I haven't heard from for the last 2 years. I left home in 2000. I got a phone call from my dad in 2002. The phone call was not a pleasant phone call. My dad was calling me to yell at me because I was asking him for money. Haven't I told you not to call me or not to come back home until you got the money I gave you at first back? I have to give you money, buddy, and I kick you out of the house for a reason. So therefore, don't call me back asking for money. And I didn't call him back for money. I was with a church, and the pastor from the church had promised me that he would pay for the school, and he couldn't, so he called my dad for help. So my dad thought I was asking him for help, and I'm like, heck no, not doing that. Anyways, some of you don't know my story, but I did not have a good story with my dad growing up. So I go that day, and we have a fight through the phone, and we're like just yelling at each other. I hang the phone. He hangs the phone, and I felt so terrible. I felt terrible. I felt unloved. I felt like I was uncared for. That fatherly love that everyone seeks and wants, I just didn't have it. So I was crying basically, and going out. I went outside and I lay down on the ground and I look up to the skies. It was a beautiful night in Orlando, Florida. The skies were bright. It was dark for like there was no lights outside, but you looked up and it was bright. You could see the stars. You could see, like, you know, the moon. The moon wasn't a full moon night. It was a half moon, whatever you call that. You know, so I looked up and I saw it. Oh, the, the beauty of the sky, of the heavens. And I start talking to God about love and being accepted. And just start praying. And at that moment, I just start wrestling with God. Not a bad wrestling, but a good wrestling. Do you remember as guys, I know girls might not connect with this here, but as guys, do you remember going up and wrestling with Dad in the living room, just rolling over the floor and fighting with Dad just playfully? Do you remember doing that? We did that a lot. That's how, that's the only moments of good moments I had with my dad was wrestling in the ground in the living room where we were playing with each other. And I just felt God coming down and wrestling with me. And under the skies, I had a moment with God. Under a beautiful night, I was able to experience God. And that experience has changed. It changed me. I felt loved. I felt cared. And transformation started to happen in my life. Have you ever been outside in the woods or looking in the skies or maybe fishing, maybe just outside walking your dog? Have you ever felt God's presence while being in the outdoors? If you know a little bit about me, I am not an outdoor guy. That just doesn't happen, right? That's not like, oh, yeah, let's go outside today and walk in the woods. That's not me. But reality is that God has chosen His sovereignty to reveal Himself to us through His creation, and we ought to pay attention to that. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6 says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim of His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, night to night reveals knowledge of Him. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circus to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat." My first point for us that comes out of this verse is this: is that God reveals Himself through His works. It is just like that. See, God is infinite being and so big we can't comprehend Him. We can't just grasp who God is. So He, knowing that, He makes it His presence and Himself tangible to us through revelation, to revealing Himself to us through different ways. There's four ways in which God reveals Himself to us. The first way He reveals Himself to us is through His Word. He makes it objective, His revelation to us, through His Word. We have the Word of God and He reveals His character, who He is, and what is the kind of relationship that He wants to have with us through the Word of God. So no other revelation of God to us ought to contradict what is in the Word. Must become hand in hand. God has also chosen to reveal Himself through us, to us through the person of Jesus Christ, making it even more tangible. Someone who existed in history. Nobody denies the existence of Jesus. Someone who was here, present, incarnated, God incarnated, and who died on the cross of Calvary and showed us an example of how to live a godly life. God revealing Himself through His Son, Jesus. Another way that God reveals Himself to us is through the life of other people. So many times you are down and out and you're just needing a word of encouragement. And God, knowing that, He reveals His love and care to you through someone else. Have you ever experienced that? The other day, we were at home, and I was personally struggling a little bit. And I needed a hug. And my little son Caleb, came to me and gave me a hug. They didn't even know that he was needing a hug. He needed 10 bucks, that's why. So, but it doesn't matter why he needed it. It matters what I needed. And and I needed a hug. And God, through my son, revealed his love to me. The last way that in which God reveals himself to us, and the way in which we will explore the biblical narrative in the next few weeks, is through creation, through his creation. And David tells us here on verse 1 that the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declares. We all believe in the Bible. We all believe that what it is written, right? So therefore, we ought to explore what it's trying to tell us. And the first thing that David is telling us is that the heavens declares the glory of God. Well, I need to ask you, what does it mean to declare? What it means to declare? As a foreigner who learns English, one of the things that I do is I define words to find meanings for a statement. And the word declare is a very important statement on this statement of David to us. So what it means to declare? Help me out. What it means to declare? To say the truth. That's pretty good. To say it out loud. To speak it up. To let everybody knows about what the truth is. Today is a Super Bowl Sunday, right? And at the end of the Super Bowl, somebody's going to be declared champions. The winner. Victory. When you declare a champion, do you say, "I am the champion of the world"? Is that how we do it? No, everybody's out. People is yelling. There is a trophy. You running through the field. You see it today. There is a party going on. When somebody's declared a winner, someone is a victory. And the heavens declare and it tells out loud. It speaks out loud. It puts a party together for the glory of God. Now, to pray, to declare it is great. Now, I want to know you, to understand declaring is great, it's easy, right? I want you to talk to me about what it means, glory of God. What does the statement of glory of God mean? What does it mean that the heavens is declaring God's glory? Greatness. What else? Mercy. Grace. Love. His majesties. And when we look to the universe, we see first and foremost the majesty of God. God could have created one star, two star, three star, and we will be in awe of who God is. Have you ever asked the question, how big is the universe? Have you ever asked that question? I have asked that many times. I used to take the dog out to go to the bathroom, you know. So I would always look at the sky, and I was like, man, how big is that? How big is the universe? So I started making a little bit of exploration. That was, you know, long ago. I started looking at the exploring and just Googling, because Google tells you everything, right? So I was Googling. It's like, how big is the universe? And trying to read in different websites and different things. And I went to National Geographic and went to different websites. And I found out that there's 300 sextillion stars. That's the estimation out there. Estimated that there is 300 sextillion. Do you know what that is? Am I saying that right? Six. Well, there's no R there. Well, I said 6 trillion the first service, but I thought it was wrong because it's 6 trillion. I don't know what that is, but I do know this, though, as I was exploring. I can't spell English, but I don't know one thing, is that there is a 3 and 23 zeros after that. That I know. Listen, I don't know if you can grasp it, but I can't, like, for you. So it is unbelievable the amount of stars that God has created. It talks about his creativity, the capacity of his creativity. No stars are equal. They're all different. So God is able and capable of making that many different stars in his. And spread it out there. Go find it, guys. That's how big, how good, how powerful God is. And when we look at outside, the heavens declare how powerful God is, how transcendent He is. That's the power of God. He's absolute transcendent in power. The skies are making a statement of who your God is. It is so minute to the, compared to the problems that we have right here on earth, isn't it? Tell me some of your problems. No, don't tell me. I know it's them. Shout it out, your problems. You can let God hear, because He is all powerful. If He was able and capable to make 360 million stars, I am pretty sure He's powerful enough to take care of the problems that you have in your life right now. It doesn't matter what it is. You should go outside and look at the sky and know that God has your problem taken care of. He is a powerful God. The heavens declares the majesty of God. That's how powerful He is. I look at about the complexity of life, and I see how powerful God is. The second point that I believe that David is trying to talk to us here is his creation speaks daily of His glory. I don't know if you hear this, but there is the declare, proclaims, and reveals. Creation is talking. Are you listening? Creation is talking. Are you listening? This week I got the privilege to go outside with a friend of mine. And we went outside, and there was one time where we stopped, we were silent, and we kneeled down and we started to pray. It was cold, it was breezy. I felt the whole thing. But here's one thing. When we were silent for a moment, you could hear the trees crack. The birds cheep. Yep, there's birds out there in the cold. They're American birds. Brazilian birds have been somehow, somewhere. You could hear the geese. You could hear the wind going through the leaves. Creation is speaking. Are you listening? And it goes on, verse 3, there is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the... Is creation speaking or is speaking? Here's the thing about the language of creation. It is an audible voice without words. Isn't that great? Isn't that great that God speaks to us through creation and there's no language barrier? It doesn't matter if you're deaf or if you can't understand a word that comes out of my mouth. You can go outside and God will speak to you through His creation. That's the power of God. Are you going outside to listen to God speak? The heavens convict us that God is real and that God is not just a powerful, but all powerful. The heavens convict us, nature convict us that we are humans. It shows our humanity. And that is a good thing. The last time I checked, the last time I could see, I don't think God created the stars and the heavens and, and the moon and the sun for the cats, for the dogs and the birds and the fish to be counting outside. Have you ever seen a little fish in his little fish tank looking outside? It's like, that's a star. That's two stars. God did not create the stars so that dogs and cats and birds could explore it, could gaze upon it, could marvel it. Have you ever seen a dog marvel and enjoy the night skies and the moon and the sun? No animal has ever gazed at the sky in wonder and sought to count them all and to see how they were created. No other life form has ever built a telescope to study them closely, to measure them, to name them. The heavens are a message from God to us, a message that convicts us of our humanity, but convicts us of His power, of His authority, and of His presence. Have you ever gone outside and the sky not being there? It's constantly present, isn't it? So many times we doubt God's presence in our lives, in our everyday life. And let me tell you, I don't know if you feel alone right now, but let me tell you, the truth is that God is present and He's right here right now. He's present through the whole circumstances that you're going through. It's just like the night sky. It's just like the sun that rises up every morning and goes down every afternoon. While the stars declares how little we are in relation to God and to His power, they also declare to us and to how important we are to God. Have you thought about that? That God has created the universe in all its vastness, but He is a personal God to you, to us. I don't know if you can understand this. I don't know if it means a lot to you, but it means a lot to me. That God can't create a universe that is so big, that is so extensively big, and He still sent Jesus to earth so that you could have a relationship with the creator of the universe. It shows how important we are to God. God regards us in such a way that He would give us the star to mean something to us. They'll draw us closer to Him. They'll move us closer to Him in praise and in adoration and convict us of His existence, of His power, His authority, and His presence. He convicts us in such a way that there's no excuse. The universe convicts us of God's presence, of His of His reality. And there's no, He's so real, He becomes so real through it that we have no excuse. Romans chapter 1. Verses 18 through 23 tells us this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodly and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppresses the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine in nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. In the things that he have made, so they are without excuse. Paul is writing down to the church and telling us, listen, there is no excuse for those who deny the existence of God. From the beginning, from when God spoke creation into being, He has been revealing Himself to us through it. In a sense, Paul is saying, only a fool can't deny the existence of God, and a fool in a biblical perspective of the word, meaning of the word. The stars not only declare God's magnificent power, they also tell us about His character. The heavens shows us that God loves us and will give us what brings joy to our heart. Here's the thing about the heavens and nature and the skies is that we have lost the awe of God. We have lost awe of God. And the heavens and the skies are there so that we would fall in love with Him and understand and be in awe of who He is and His greatness. I give you an example of how we have lost. That's a personal example. The other day, months ago, I went to Best Buy to buy a TV. You know, guys, we love TV. So I got in there at Best Buy. They had this section with like an 80-inch TV. And I was like, whoa, I want that. What can I like? And I come up with so my wife will let me buy this. Isn't that how it goes? And the TV was showing a picture of the universe. Galaxies and the stars and the universe and going back and forth and seeing the whole thing. And I'm like, whoa, what a great picture this TV display. See, we are distracted with technology. We are distracted with things that takes away the awe of God. I should be in awe of the picture that the TV was displaying, not with the picture that the TV was displaying. Does that make sense? I was like, man, this is a clear picture. Look, it's a 4K, HD, LD, whatever that is. And God is telling me, listen, buddy, that it is not even compared to going outside and look at this car and seeing my stars. Have you ever been outside and getting chills, looking up and getting the chills for seeing how clear a night sky is and how God have created that so that you would fall in love with Him, so that you would be in awe with His creation. In awe of Him for what He has created for your delight, for your delight and amusement. God created the universe so that you have joy in your heart, to know that you have a God who, even though He created all these things, is paying attention in you. The heavens provide us pleasure because God loves us, and love brings pleasure to our heart. Listen, the skies, the trees, they are beautiful to us, to humans, not to plants, not to animals, not to rocks, and not to the seas. The creation is beautiful to you and I. Have you paid attention to that? Creation speaks to all men throughout the whole entire world. That's the last point and the final point. You know why? Because God is looking that we would fall in love with Him and in awe with His majesty. So that when we're going through some problem in life, we know that there's a powerful God who is paying attention to me. Maybe throughout the next few weeks, we experience creation so that we'll fall in love with God. May you take some time to go outside, as I have promised you that I will do myself. Go outside and listen to God speak through creation. May you fall in love with Him. May the all of God overwhelm your heart. Because reality is, He created the universe. He created the trees. He created the water, He created the birds, the animals, so that you will know that He is God. And even though He has all these things created, He is paying attention at you. The Bible assures us that there is knowledge of God available through the created physical order. And that's what this sermon series is going to be about. And I pray that throughout these next few weeks, that you take some time to go outdoor and experience God. You might just find out that you will find a whole new level of love for Him. Let me pray. Jesus, You are great and loving God. There is no one like You. You are so powerful. To know that You created all these stars, but that You are personal to me, that is unbelievable. To know that I have a powerful God, that it is on my favor, who looks upon me and cares for my life, it is unbelievable. It brings assurance to me that You love me, that You care. So many times in life we walk alone, we feel like it that way. May the heavens remind us that You are consistently present in our lives. And that You are for us and not against us. It's in Your holy name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.